Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
How'd you get this number? You from the government? Impossible.
Improbable.
Ass blasters in the Arctic?
Welcome to the Boyd Canyon Arctic Research Station.
If you've got ass blasters, you have graboids.
We're a couple fear worms.
Fear worms.
Oh my God, this is the final one.
This is the final episode.
Hello, everybody, by the
way. We've done it.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fear Worms. Should we have said that?
Yeah. Didn't we?
I don't know. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
If you haven't been paying attention, we've been watching all of the Tremors films.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little mini series brought to you by Aaron Burser, who is the producer of all of this.
Yes. Thank you, Aaron Burser.
Yeah.
Delightful patron of ours.
We've come a long way since Tremors... Then Tremors 2, then Tremors 3, then Tremors 4, then Tremors 5, and now Tremors 6.
Mm.
Otherwise,
it's a sweet spot.
Yeah, otherwise known as Tremors A Cold Day in Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is it. This is the final one.
This is the final, so far, they're currently filming another one.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that along the way. I have a little of details of that for Behind the Worm.
Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah, we have several sections of this.
Much like the segments of a fear worm.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember if I've made that joke before. I probably have.
It feels
like we've been doing this show forever.
Yeah, we kind of have. We're closing out the year. Basically, the last mini series episode, I think, is this before the new year. So we got this done. Like, I think we started around August-ish.
Yeah, I can't remember if we started this. We started this in Highlander at the same time, right?
Yeah,
we first
thought this was going to get done a lot quicker, and then we got some more Patreon produced shows, some miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got it done by the end of the year, so that's good.
Yeah,
we stretched it out. We got it done.
We got it done.
It's like one episode a month. It kind of came to, or something like that.
Roughly, yeah, as we try to rotate them.
Yeah. I feel good about it. I feel good about what we've done. Although we haven't finished this episode, so it could all go wrong.
Maybe we should save the back padding so we actually get all the way through this.
True. That's true.
The world could explode 20 minutes into this podcast.
So this is, again, Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell. It's the final one, featuring Jamie Kennedy and Michael Gross.
Yeah.
Same director and same writer as the previous ones. I forget how we do things, so I'm just going to start by asking you, Tom, what did you think of this film? I guess that's the Burt's Bullets, but...
That's the Burt's Bullets.
But you could say, did you like it or not?
I liked it okay.
Okay.
I thought... we're going to talk about it. It's it's clear that they didn't have much money, so it takes place entirely in, like... Of like a warehouse and the surrounding lot. It takes place in a big parking lot, essentially.
I was the most excited for this one and the most let down. This is supposed to take place in Alaska or Canada or something.
The Arctic Circle. Arctic fucking circle.
Yeah, it's graboids in the snow. I'm just going to go ahead and skip to Behind the Worm for just this one part.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to shoot in Bulgaria. There was too much snow, so they couldn't film there. Can you guess where they filmed instead?
I know where they filmed because I looked it up.
South Africa.
Yeah, they went back to South Africa.
Yeah. This movie almost entirely takes place in a gravel parking lot.
Yes.
And nothing else. With the beginning scene, it starts with these guys in the ice, and they get attacked by graboids, and that's just the inciting incident.
The bloodiest graboid attack thus far, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of dismemberment in this movie. We haven't really seen that.
Did you immediately know what you were looking at? Because I immediately knew what I was looking at when I saw that setting.
No, I didn't. But like going back and reading about it, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the only thought I had is that they're bizarrely underdressed for standing in a tundra in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. The moment I saw it, I was like, oh, that's the desert. Because they shot in the desert and then they bleached it white to make it look like in After Effects, and they added fake snow. Because I immediately noticed the snow looked bad. And then the rolling hills. And it was just like, oh, that's not what snow looks like. That's not what the Arctic looks like. That's what the desert looks like. Oh, yes. This is going to be bad. Okay, so I guess we should go through the plot of this.
Yeah. I can give it a shot.
Yeah.
There's people doing, I forget what they're actually drilling for. I think like a hot water reserve or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And then they accidentally wake up these fear worms.
Yep.
These graboids. And it kills the entire team.
Oh, and they're, they're so foreign. How they call the American Yank, and they go on about him saying Fahrenheit.
Yeah, like, one of them's Aussie, and like they're from all over the world.
Right, but it felt like foreign characters written by an American.
Like that's because it's all, what it was.
Yeah, and all they talked about was how foreign they all were.
Right, they only talked about like where they were from.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily mind that dynamic. Like I thought it was kind of cool to just be like, hey Yank, hey Aussie, you know, hey UK or whatever. But yeah, it was like, it was whatever.
Yeah.
So we cut to Bert, who is apparently the only person left in
Perfection,
and he's now operating Chang's market because Jody, who we met in part three, has gone off to law school. Is that right?
I guess. I mean,
he says something about it.
It
like she's
me,
off it.
Yeah, that's good that they're not all staying there.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad for it, and it makes sense for Bert's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's currently squatting in the only remaining building in Perfection.
Yeah.
Jamie Kennedy shows up and is like, hey, does he give him the mission?
They get a call.
Oh,
or something?
No, a different guy shows up and get, that's right. Like his old, like weird, like war buddy. They have like a weird dick measuring contest
right.
about guns.
Yes.
He shows up. Anyway, they get called out to the Arctic because there's another graboid problem. We get another crazy drunken helicopter pilot named Mac, who's a lady this time.
Yeah, Lady Mac.
Lady Mac. They land at the base. There's like an evil guy there who wants to capture the graboids and use them as weapons.
Evil Canadian DARPA guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, what is this guy? What is any of this?
Yeah, what is his life like?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same plot that it's been for the past couple of ones where it's they contact Bert to come out to some exotic location to deal with a graboid infestation. Lots of people die, graboids explode, end of movie.
Yep.
There is a subplot about Bert having been infected with tiny worms from his time being swallowed by the graboid in part three. And so they need to capture a graboid alive to get some enzyme out of it that can save Bert's life. Cause otherwise he's just dying,
which I thought was a really cool idea. Cause
it was cool.
It was like, what more do you need? You need a mutated virus, a graboid virus. That's like the final thing a graboid should be.
And then it gave us a fun game of how do we catch the graboid without killing it.
Yeah, it was still dumb because they're like, he got the virus from, I believe, Tremors 3.
Right, which is like 15 years ago at this point.
It's like, oh God. And other people like have gotten swallowed by graboids.
Right, the helicopter pilot in the last one.
Yeah, so he's probably dead.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's
it was a different strain though. Like it's a different graboid strain.
Oh, that's true. That's
true. It was like the freaky new ones.
Yeah, that's fair. All the previous ones have found reasons for them to be outgunned, to like go into a situation and not be prepared. This one, they just sort of fly into this area with a couple guns and then they're like, "Oh no." And then they're just sort of trapped there until they are able to not be trapped there. I found this one, it was so disappointing. Because again, I can't stress this enough, 80% of this movie takes place in a gravel parking lot.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Like just one place, one location.
Mm-hmm. And they do go, like, there's like a hot spring that they go to, and like there's a little bit of it, but it is primarily in this parking lot.
Yeah. They multiple times talk about climate change. That's their mm-hmm. way to explain why there's no snow.
Yes.
Which was pretty fucking funny.
Well, and they tied it into the plot of their movie too, because they argue that the fact that there is this huge melt off is the reason why the Graboids are awake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that I was works. Like, all right, that's fine. Yeah. And like, I didn't necessarily mind it because I liked all the new characters they introduced. I still think the effects looked cool. It was the same kind of effects from the previous one.
The Graboids are more aggressive, which I like. They're faster.
And they finally did what I was theorizing since like part 3, where the guy like thinks he's safe in the car and it just fucking comes up underneath the car and destroys the whole thing because it's gigantic.
They had a pneumatic catapult for this one, so they were launching things in the air, which it was delightful.
It was pretty sweet, yeah.
I would say my favorite thing in this movie was everything that came out of Bert's mouth. My least favorite thing is everything that came out of Jamie Kennedy's mouth.
He is intolerable.
Yeah, some of the lines, because they've clearly been asked to improv. So, like, there's a part where in the beginning where Bert closes the store,
mm-hmm.
and Jamie's like, "What are you closing?" And he's all mad, and he says, "You wonder why I go to strip clubs?" In response to why Bert's closing the store, what does that mean? Is he horny for Bert's store?
I think the joke is that strip clubs don't close. Okay. Or at least they don't close over. They close at like 6 a.m.
There's a lot of little lines like that. Like when he gets on the phone with the lady and Jamie Kennedy asks, "Is she hot?" And it's like, how would he know if she's hot? He's on the phone with her.
That's the joke.
Yeah, it's nonsense. That's the joke. Yeah.
In Jamie's defense, that is the joke. I mean, that's Stifler says it in one of the American Pies where he's like, "Did she sound hot?"
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's
a classic dumb guy joke.
Yeah, I guess there's a line also at the beginning when they're drilling, and someone says like, "It could be a rock," and they're like, "Yeah, it could be the Easter Bunny," and then the other person says, "Well, it isn't a rock, and it sure as shit isn't the Easter Bunny, you dumbass." Like they legitimately thought it was the Easter Bunny.
Right. They considered that possibility for a few moments.
There's a lot of little exchanges like that where I'm like, you didn't quite get it. Like, you didn't, like...
Yeah, like...
He asked one of the guys if he just came from Burning Man, Jamie mm-hmm. Kennedy does, and it's like, you look like you smell like piss, Jamie Kennedy.
Right.
Like, you look terrible.
Again, I don't... Like I said in the last episode, and in this one, I don't want to, like, you know, talk shit on a person for the way they look, but Jamie Kennedy looks drunk the entire film.
Yes, some of it is just the costume design. Some of it's...
Yeah.
That's what I mean, is, like, he's dressed in shambles, and his hair's a mess, and these people walk up to him who look slightly better than him, and he's like...
They all look incredibly better than him. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and he's like, "Would you just come from Burning Man?" And it's like, that line doesn't make any sense in the context of your character. It's just a thing you said.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and it's a lot of his, like, caustic sort of... Like, Jamie Kennedy's stand-up is very mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It's a lot of punching down, and it comes through a lot when he's asked to do improv in this film.
Yes. On the other side of it, you have lines from Michael Gross, such as, "My balls are in the Guinness Book of Balls."
Yeah.
And it's
Michael,
like,
Michael Gross is incredible in this movie.
He's he's incredible in every one
of these. Yeah, he's the fucking best. Like, he kills it in all of these.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at how conversely to Jamie Kennedy, I was surprised at how good Michael Gross looks, because he is in his 70s.
Yeah. You get to see some his ass.
You get to see his ass. Yeah, you see Michael Gross's ass.
Yeah, and it's an old guy's ass, but it's not bad.
It's a fine ass.
It's fine.
A fine ass.
Yep.
He's staying in shape.
Yeah, this movie was made 2018, by the way,
mm-hmm.
which means Bert is knee-deep in MAGA. Like, he's got to be, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he goes on about... He has the shooting the tax man thing.
Yes,
like, he is a Trump supporter. He's got to be. It's they don't mention it. He does recognize climate change.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe not, but I mean
he's always been...
They just avoid the conversation. Well,
he, he's a libertarian, I think, above all else.
Yeah, you're right. So he actually might not be.
I think we can. I think it's safe. And Michael Gross himself is a very left-leaning man. So yeah. I know that he would want this character that he cares so much about to go in that direction.
I think when you watch the first Tremors, you think like, oh, no. I know where the trajectory of this character would
go. The internet would be very bad for Bert.
Yes. But they do they've evolved him as a character that doesn't feel like that would be what's going on. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is more of a libertarian than anything else.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. He's like a Kurt Russell type.
Mhm.
They have Kevin Bacon's alleged daughter is in this. The daughter of Val and Rhonda from the first film.
Yeah. Also, the character of Swackhammer.
Fucking Swackhammer. Oh my gosh. I did delight in Swackhammer.
Swackhammer was something else.
First of all, that name.
Yeah, he has a line.
Nobody
later.
Is called that.
Yeah, where they're just like, this is Swackhammer. And it was like, I'm sorry. Are we going to move on?
This is Swackhammer. No. No, it isn't.
He also calls one of the Graboids. He says he's naming it Sally after his ex. And it's like, oh, that's cute. And then I wrote the quote down because it clearly says more about Swackhammer than his ex. He says she was a dirty man-eating bitch, and it's like, okay, fine. And then second part, who would stick her nose where it doesn't belong. And it's
Swackhammer.
It's like, oh, Swackhammer. It sounds like you got caught doing something. That's not a trait of an abusive woman. That's a trait of a woman who caught you doing something and left you.
I don't know if she caught you cheating or if she caught you in the middle of a murder.
Yes. Like, it's 50-50 that Swackhammer killed his ex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible he was a heroin mule and Sally walked in the room at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Sticking her nose where it doesn't belong. Oh my god.
There's like
Swackhammer,
little...
how could you?
the dialogue in this is something else.
It is out of control, yeah.
I wrote down the exchange, Jamie Kennedy to they gave him a romantic lead.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, we didn't need that.
He says, you ever see an ass blaster before? Which is just out of context a horrible thing to say to a woman. And then he says, they're mean and they stink. And she says, I had a boyfriend like that once. To which he replies, you single? To which she replies, you trying to get sweet with me? Everything, like, it's not, there's nothing in that stands out that much. It's just so clunky and weird.
Right. There's absolutely no reason that this brilliant Arctic researcher, who is played by... a former Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. So she's like brilliant and gorgeous and capable and is in charge of this team. There is literally no reason for her to be interested in Jamie Kennedy.
No. Yeah.
Like.
She later says, and she's like practically having an orgasm when she says, biomechanics are so sexy later.
Mm-hmm.
And she says,
I don't know.
She says it like a weird maniac, like she wants to devour biomechanics.
Oh, right. Like if you heard that sounds like something James Gum would say.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you don't want to hear that come out of somebody's mouth. Like if it was coming out of the mouth of like Vincent D'Onofrio and not like an attractive lady, that would be, it would be bone chilling.
Yes. But again, on the other side of it, there's Burt Gummer saying to there's a guy who throughout this movie is drinking energy drinks to a point where it's
heart
where they're getting attacked and he's chugging an energy drink. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, this is a thing.
It's setting something up.
Yeah.
And boy, is it.
They use his pee to distract the Graboid.
They do.
And
they use his thunderous piss to distract the Graboid.
To which Bert says, When they tell him to pee, he says, you take out that disco stick and let it dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrific. Just terrific.
He does say that.
And then when he's pissing, the piss is like going whizzing by Bert's head. And he shouts out, gonna build me an ark. It's like, oh, Bert, you're the best. Everything he says is great. And then they just sort of leave him there. They use his piss to distract and they all run away, and then he just hangs out on that drilling equipment, and they just don't, they stop talking about him for a while,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of silly.
Oh, man.
I would say, so I have, this is, we're jumping around a lot.
We are, yes.
But to give people a proper idea of this, remember when the first movie, the woman loses her pants, Rhonda loses her pants.
Yes, correct.
And we talked about it in that episode, they didn't call any attention to it. It was just like what she had to do to get away from the graboid.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has a great comparison, which is when the sexy scientist lady also gets her pants tangled in a graboid.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Kennedy says, take off your pants. And she goes, I can't, I'm not wearing any underwear. And they make it this whole creepy, sexy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's the key difference.
Yeah, that's a big, the tone is definitely different.
Yeah.
And I think the presence of a guy like Jamie Kennedy is a huge indication how different the tone has gotten.
Yes.
I mean, it's still in comedy horror.
Yeah.
Like it's still firmly in that category, but it's like it's the tone of the comedy has definitely shifted a bit. And we talked about that a little bit in the last episode.
Yeah, the presence of Jamie Kennedy has altered things. And it feels more in, it also just feels like they've lost their thread of like, because this was just, and then this happens, then this happens. I was having trouble figuring out what the problem was, because it was like, before they knew about Bert,
mm-hmm.
they just needed to leave, right?
Yeah, you think the helicopter pilot would have flown them out of there.
Right. Like, all they needed to do was leave. I couldn't understand why they seemed trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're like, we have to capture one, it's like, oh, that's all well and good. But they still sort of need to just leave. Like, yeah, Bert needs help. But it never felt like, there was never that feeling of like, I don't know, that they're trapped, that the stakes were high in any weird way.
Mm-hmm.
The characters were all right, but they also, like that one guy, who's the guy who fucking makes a run for it where he gets the...
Doctor, they said his name like 100 times in that scene. What was it? What the fuck was his name? It was some doctor. He's some chicken shit doctor.
Yeah, and he like runs for it, and then he's like kind of evil. Right before he dies?
Right, he like randomly turns evil right before he dies.
Yeah, and it was just like, what is going on? Like, that's such a... he says, adios, amigo, that's what he says.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why are you evil suddenly? There was still a lot of, like, the water graboid attack I thought was great.
Yeah, no, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ideas in this, but it felt like... And probably this had to do with the location and the limited budget. It felt cobbled together.
Yeah, a little bit.
It felt like they had a series of set pieces that they could do in this parking lot, and they just had to get us from each thing.
Mm-hmm.
But since we couldn't leave the parking lot, it was, I don't know, I lost interest very fast.
Yeah, I can see that.
They also had zero prep.
Really?
No, I mean, like, the characters had zero
prep. Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, they were, like, had nothing. Like, yeah. Like Bert lands there, and they're just like, well, we got nothing.
Yeah.
Also, hope you brought stuff.
The goddamn, the climax is the act of capturing, torturing, and then blowing up a graboid.
Yep.
And I was like, this isn't heroic.
Not really. It felt very... It did feel a little weird when Bert flies a little biplane into the graboid's mouth with a bomb tied to it, just blows it up.
Yeah, it was very cowardly. Like, I know this is not supposed to be the point, but I'd love to see one of them tame a graboid. Like,
yeah, they kind of played around with that idea in Tremors 3, right?
I think
with
so.
The big white one.
You're right. He leaves one. At the end, doesn't he? He lets that one live.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked that idea that they're just sort of animals and they're predators. And yeah, that, you know, you have to be careful around them, but you shouldn't just go capture them and blow them up. Like, that's fucked up. That's like capturing and blowing up a bear. I mean, it's awesome, but...
It would be pretty sweet, yeah, to tie up a bear and then fly a little radio-controlled plane into its face with a bomb tied to it.
Right.
Take that, bear!
I wanted to ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
If you were Bert,
yeah,
and you had to go fight Graboids,
mm-hmm.
what would you bring? What would your
all
setup
of the guns.
Be?
All of the guns. I would take all of the guns.
I would bring guns for sure, but you know what I would invest in? Scaffolding.
Oh, like a, yeah.
Like ways to, like the biggest problem they have throughout the whole series is having trouble touching the ground or not touching the ground. And it feels like you would invest heavily in ways to protect yourself from the ground.
Yeah.
And of course you have the ass blasters, so you have to deal with them. So I thought like scaffolding, you could get in between the scaffolding and that would give you some protection, like roofed scaffolding or something. Or like,
maybe.
You'd think he'd,
or
you'd
like
think
a tree stand.
Like. Right. Or like some sort of vehicle he created specifically for Graboids.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think you'd create something that a Graboid, you know, like if I were Bert at this point, I would invest in some sort of tank.
Well, he's had them in like parts 2 and 3, but he never seems to bring them with.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he brought it with in 2 and it got fucked up.
He did have that giant ass gun in 3, I think.
Yeah, mounted on the top of his car. Yeah.
Kills all the shriekers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so weird how little how little preparation he had for this one. It's like you'd think at this point, I don't know.
Right, especially because they made such a big, like it was like a kind of like a running joke.
Yeah. Oh, other question.
Mm-hmm.
What was with the hat?
I don't know.
The hat, so in this, I know what it was behind the scenes. In this film, Bert is wearing a Cubs hat now?
Yes.
And what was the previous hat?
I don't remember.
But everybody who sees him says, looks at his hat and goes, you change teams? And he goes, no, just hats.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't remember his
I didn't his either. His signature hat.
I didn't remember his hat having like a logo on it. I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently Michael Gross did that just because he likes the Cubs. But they didn't explain it at all.
No, it's weird that they kept calling attention to it. And that's like the whole time I was like, I don't remember what his old hat was.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a final question. Unless
sure.
I feel like we could also, we could talk about this later. Cause this is a question about the series as a whole. So do you want to do what, us versus them? Or do you want to do, do you have any other final thoughts on the plot?
On the plot? No. I mean, I was sort of fine with this one. Like, I thought the action and the effects were fun enough in that tiny, dumb setting that they had.
Yeah.
That I was okay with it. Like,
Well, they love making it.
They do, yeah.
There's heart behind it at all times. It's just, man, if you can only film your movie in a parking lot, maybe don't film it.
They still had some bitchin' explosions, man, when
they did.
Graboids explode.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's get into us versus them, I guess.
Yeah, don't we want to do Behind the Worm first, or do we do us versus them first?
I want to do us versus them to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Because then I think Behind the Worm, we can talk about behind the scenes, but then we can talk about Tremors 7 as well.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So I counted, let's see, there's 3 humans at the beginning, right?
Yep.
The random guard in the parking lot.
Yep.
The science lady killed in the water.
Yep.
The lady randomly pulled through the window and eaten.
Yep. Yep.
The coward doctor.
Cowardly doctor, yep.
The army guy pulled through the floor.
Right, who was like the evil DARPA guy's henchman.
Yep, and the flaming soldier.
Yes.
Is that it?
I think that's all the people, yes.
Okay, so that's 9.
Mm-hmm. There's a pretty substantial body count in this film.
This might be the second or third biggest body count. I know the Tremors 4 had the biggest body count because of the mine.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
For monsters?
There's only 3.
No, there's 3 Graboids, but there's 2 ass blasters.
Oh, right. I forgot about them.
They slam into an ass blaster on the plane, which was pretty great.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
They blow up another ass blaster. I forget the context. They shoot it, I think, and it explodes.
Yeah, it's when it's attacking Hart.
Yeah. The ATV bomb, which I thought I wanted Jamie Kennedy to just explode. Because they kill...
Well, doesn't the Graboid get the ATV bomb?
Yes. That's the third. Jamie Kennedy jumps on an ATV, has gasoline, and like lights it on fire, like sticks a rag in the gas and lights it on fire, mm-hmm. and then starts driving. And it's like, you don't know the timer on that, Jamie Kennedy. And so I was just waiting for him to detonate.
To just fucking explode.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, I guess we don't really need to talk about it, but can we talk about the scene where Swackhammer is just dripping with explosives, throwing dynamite at the Graboid?
Yes. Swackhammer is the real star of this.
He truly is. Yeah, get Jamie Kennedy out of here and make Swackhammer Bert's new sidekick.
I know. Doesn't Swackhammer kill the next Graboid that's blown up by the electric fence? That's Swackhammer. Yes. And he starts humping the air.
He does.
And then, yeah, the final one is the captured, tortured, and exploded Graboid.
Yep.
So it's five. Mm-hmm. So they killed more.
Oh, yeah.
They won that one.
Well, they're more formidable, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, Swackhammer, you amazing human, you.
You glorious Swackhammer, you.
Yeah.
You glorious Diet Chris Pratt, you. Like, as soon as he was introduced, I was like, oh, you put out a casting call for a Chris Pratt type.
Yeah, sure.
And you found this guy.
Yeah, but he's darker. He's darker than Chris Pratt.
Oh, he's much darker, yes. Yeah,
he's like, there's something about him. He ain't right.
My gosh, Swackhammer. Make a Swackhammer. He better be in Tremor 7, even though I know he's not going to be.
Yeah. Did you look into Tremor 7?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. I get to tell you some news. Let's get into Behind the Worm.
Behind the Worm!
So the director was Don Michael Paul, who directed Bloodlines.
Okay.
I think he directed Kindergarten Cop 2 as well. We talked about him in the last one.
We talked about this. Yeah, he's doing a lot of Universal direct-to-DVD stuff.
Yep. John Welpley did the screenplay. He also did Bloodlines and Tremors 3.
Okay.
I couldn't find the budget, but the box office was $1.3 million in home video sales. I can't imagine they broke even.
No, this cost more than $1 million.
Yes.
No, there's not even a way around that. This cost more than $1 million.
Yeah.
This looks like it cost maybe three.
Yeah, I think this went out on Sci-Fi, didn't it?
That I don't know.
So it might be a kind of, there's, you know,
a distribution deal for sure.
Yeah, like I think the home video sales probably aren't that important, but
yeah, I think it's probably secondary to like selling the television rights to the film.
Yeah. As we talked about,
but, I mean, they must be making money because they're making another one.
Yes, they're making enough apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we said, they shot it in South Africa because of the blizzards, because they got snowed out of their location, and they wrote in the climate change stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would have been way cooler to see Tremors in the snow.
It really would have been. They should do that again.
Yeah, and do it for real this time.
Yeah, this explains a big thing. Michael Gross, as before, did help with Bert's dialogue.
Oh, yeah, I just assumed that was the case. Yeah.
And yeah, he was a Cubs fan, and so that's where they brought in the hat.
The Cubs hat. Yeah, there you go.
The water attack was done. Yep. The water attack was done kind of the same way. It's funny. It was very Jaws-like. They grabbed barrels, and they just pulled them under the water to make it look like something was under the water, and then they yanked it around. It was good.
Yeah, it was decent. Yeah, it felt horrific.
Yep. I would recommend, one thing I would recommend is if you watch behind the scenes documentaries, because they're all online, there's one of just the production design for Chang's Market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of amazing. They recreated the Chang's Market from the first one, and you can't really see it, but there's all sorts of Easter eggs in that market.
I was looking around, like I noticed the magazines, but
yeah, there's like Burt products and Ass Blaster eggs and stuff like that. Like weird, fun little products in there.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all I found for this movie, because it is Tremors 6. And we talked about this. Is that Tremors 5, they stopped doing so much behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's true. Probably because they knew there wasn't... Well, they did do home video sales. I don't know. It's interesting that they don't do more behind the scenes stuff for something that they know is specifically for home video.
The special features are almost all these like 5-minute documentaries of people just sort of saying empty things about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about how they really like the director, and the director, again, you can kind of see it watching it, is like the director clearly enjoys this, they all seem to be having a lot of fun making them. And so, yeah, more power to them, you know?
It's
like, these aren't the greatest movies, but especially the later ones.
I still kind of had fun watching it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And I was, like we talked about in the last episode, I was surprised at how much I liked Bloodlines.
Bloodlines was surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to tell you about Tremors 7, then.
Please tell me about Tremors 7. Tremors 7.
Yep. It's called Tremors Island Fury.
Oh, yeah!
Yep. It centers on graboids that have been illegally brought to an island resort by a rich guy.
It's
as a form of trophy hunting.
So it's like the most dangerous game.
Exactly. That's exactly what this article says. It's Burt Gummer plus the most dangerous game.
I'm kind of into that.
Yep. Other news. First of all, it's Don Michael Pollockin doing it. It's the same writer, same director.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's not going to be in it?
Jamie Kennedy's not going to be in it. Jesus.
quote from his Twitter. A lot of people have been asking me, so I might as well spill it. I will not be in the upcoming Tremors 7. I had a great time making the last two. Heart emoji. But no Travis this time around. But hey, you never, N-E-V-A, know what can happen in the future. Have a great time, boys. T-Dog out. Motorcycle emoji. So, he's not in it.
I wonder if it was a scheduling conflict or...
I don't know. You know who is in it?
Is fucking Swackhammer in it?
No, John Hader, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't know why he's in it, but he's in it.
That's kind of perfect.
Uh-huh. Maybe Swackhammer. We can look up to see if I don't think Swackhammer's in
it. Yeah, you got my hopes all up when you loaded the question like that. I was like, is fucking Swackhammer coming back?
Hold on. Tremors... I'm looking up the guy who played Swackhammer so we can at least see what he's been up to.
Mm-hmm.
Because fucking it's Swackhammer. Do he have a first name in this?
He deserves everything.
His name is Rob Van Vuren.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Mandela. He was in Blood Drive. He is not in the next Tremors. At least he's not credited. I think he's from another country. He was in something called The Bone Snatcher. He played Arctic Scientist number 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to see The Bone Snatcher. 2003 is The Bone Snatcher. Yeah, we got to follow this guy, Swackhammer's career.
We got to really pay attention to Swackhammer's career. Yeah. I'm expecting big things from this guy.
Mm-hmm. He was terrific.
Huge
he was in the movie Stone Cold Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm. I see that, yeah.
Okay.
I suspect he's South African, judging by his name.
Yeah.
And he's in Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
And they filmed this in South Africa. They probably got a lot of local actors to
be
in this
movie.
Yeah,
that all checks out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's do Burt's Bullets, and then I want to save my final question.
Okay.
So Burt's Bullets is our rating for this. How many bullets are we going to give this? Rating from 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Most bullets mean best. We gave Tremors was a 5.
Okay.
Number 2 was 4.5. Number 3 was 3.5. Number 4 was 2.5. And then number 5 went back up to a 3.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give Tremors 6?
I don't want to say 2.5 because I liked it better than Tremors 4.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was less boring than Tremors 4, to be honest.
God damn it, you're right. I was going to give this a 2.
I can't because it's
less
boring
than
Tremors 4.
Can we give it a 2.... But it's not as good as Tremors 5.
No, it's not.
So like a 2.7?
Let's give it a 2.75.
2.75.
2¾ of a bullet.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
Because you're right. Tremors 4 is surprisingly one of the most creative ideas of this series.
And the most boring.
And the most boring. So yeah. The way we have it now is our official ranking, guys, because we're done, is the worst one is Tremors 4. Second worst, Tremors 6. Third worst, Tremors 5. Fourth worst or third best, Tremors 3, then Tremors 2, and then a perfect 5 for Tremors, you guys.
Obviously.
That all checks out.
Yeah, it's that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. This is what do you have any this isn't my final question, but like do you have any final thoughts about this series?
It's so endearing. Like I get why fans like it a lot. I get why they keep making more of it.
Yeah.
Cuz it's just it's there's something about it that's just like this it's a little bit like that movie we did Dr. Frankenstein and the Hungry Dead or whatever.
Right.
Where it's like, yeah, some of these movies are bad, like but like there's still so much like heart and spirit behind it.
Yeah, it's
and then
I want to compare it almost to Adam Sandler films. In that when you look behind the scenes of an Adam Sandler film, you realize, "Oh, everybody's having a lot of fun and they get along." The difference is Adam Sandler films are big corporate films. These are dinky indie films, so they have the underdog thing. So they're having fun and they're the underdog. So it's like they're not hurting anybody.
And I was surprised how good the transition to digital effects was. Like the effects in Bloodlines and A Cold Day in Hell are pretty cool.
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
I like the worm redesigns. They made him look scarier.
Yeah, they did. And they sped them up in a way that wasn't dumb. And then like bursting out of the ground like great white sharks. These are all good additions to it. It almost like what I want to see, and this is going to go into my final question for you, is I want to see someone give these guys probably the... I would want to bring in the producers Stampede Entertainment from the first four, but I want to see these guys be given a real budget. And I don't know, not reboot, but like maybe a soft reboot or something.
Yeah,
and
like, give them like 30 or 40 million to make a soft reboot.
Yeah, and I get why they're not doing it, because these have gradually lost money. But like that Kevin Bacon, that's another behind the scenes thing, that Kevin Bacon reboot show that didn't get picked up. You know who wasn't involved in that at all? Was fucking Bert, Michael Gross.
Oh, that's too bad.
He said they didn't call him. And it's like, well, there's your problem. Like, that's the guy who's carrying your fan base. So if you're going to make a TV show, you need to bring Michael. Yeah, you need to bring Michael Gross into that with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, man.
But I think they were trying to do a different timeline. They were, I think they were trying to reboot it. And it's like, that's fine. You could reboot it. You could get Kevin Bacon back. But recognize the tone that people are enjoying and recognize Michael Gross being in it, you know?
Recognize his naked old man ass.
He's given so much to this.
That's so not much so much skin. To ask.
Yeah. And I guess my final question then, Tom, is if you could make a Tremors film, where would you set it?
Space.
Ooh. Oh, instant answer.
I'd set it in space or a city. Like a densely populated city.
I had a city written down. I think a city would be amazing.
That'd be nuts. You coming through the subway?
Yep. Coming through the subway. They could burst up through skyscrapers. The only other thing I thought of was a theme park, because there's a lot of dangly rides that you could climb on and shit. There's a lot of shit to climb on in a theme park.
Yeah, if a fucking graboid infestation showed up at Magic Mountain, that would be nuts.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. But I really think a city would be...
City would be chill, yeah.
Give them enough money to make it.
Be tough. It'd be expensive, but...
It would be, but it would be so good. Like, you do it... Man, I don't know. How would you... I would... Obviously, Bert would have to be in it, but I could see him coming later a little bit. Like, you start with people in the city dealing with it, and then they call him in. Like, you don't... I think that's the thing, is they always start on Bert.
Or he just shows up because it's because it's on the news.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah.
They don't always start on Birth. They did in part two.
Oh, that's true. You're right. But they tend to. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's like, we know where Bert is. Like, he doesn't change.
No, so, not really.
So
he's
we
the
don't,
same guy.
Yeah, we don't need... That's the only... That's the... I don't think it's a problem, but Bert is... He's a side character. He's like a Muldoon, you know?
Yeah, and that's why they've kind of been pairing him up with like Jamie Kennedy and stuff, because he's not really the main character in any of them, really.
No. No, they don't give him, any arcs, really, or anything like that. He's just sort of the weird badass.
Yeah, he's just the same guy.
Yeah. I love, what character he reminds me of?
What's that?
Is Ashley J. Williams. Ash. From Evil Dead.
A little, yeah. Ash is more of an overt loser.
Yeah. But they have the same mixture of kind of badass, but also not very dignified.
Well, yeah, Ash is like a blunt instrument.
Yes.
Like I would say Bert's more of a scalpel.
Yes,
Bert,
but
Bert's, I see they occupy the same space in a script or in a story, but like Bert is like the intelligent version of Ash. Ash is a dumb guy who just happens to be really good at killing demons.
Yes, for sure. But they both have tonally they both get humiliated the same amount. Where like Bert gets pissed on by a lion and is crying for his life, and like in this one he makes that shot but his ass is out and he falls over. Like they're silly badasses.
Yes, yeah.
And that's a great, that's a great character type that we don't see nearly enough.
Right. Well, it kind of humanizes people, too.
Yeah. It makes, they're like fools, but they're good at one thing.
Yeah. Correct. Bert, especially in like, not so much in the later ones, but definitely in the first one, Bert is the confident fool. Like, he's like Drax. Like, he's saying these crazy things, but he's also like, he fucking gets shit done.
Right, because it's that idea of if someone's really good at something, that doesn't mean they're particularly intelligent. They're just really good at this one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should have done what they did with Ash versus Evil Dead. They should have done a Tremors show, where it's just old
Bert.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Or, a city reboot. I would kill to see this in a city.
That would be pretty good.
That's my fantasy. Yeah, space. Space is funny because there's no ground. So they're just floating there.
Well, you do it on a planet or like on the moon.
Oh, okay. Moon gravity. I was imagining like a spaceship and they're just like wiggling.
Yeah, floating zero G.
Yeah, just having a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Just slapping into the side of things.
But yeah, you could do a space one easily. It could be like years in the future. And it's like they find like the Graboid's home world and it turns out that they like came to Earth on a meteor or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or just moon base or something.
Yeah, it gives a shit. Just put it on a moon base.
The zero G stuff would be so fun to like.
It would be really fucking fun.
Sucking Graboids into the abyss and like.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of
just pinwheeling through space like a turd.
Yeah.
They look like big turds.
Yeah, like a turd in a swimming pool. Just just spinning into the nothingness.
Yep, spinning like fucking John Hurt's body in Alien.
Yeah, it's like oh man.
Oh, I think that's a series.
I think that's a series. Holy shit.
I think that's a series. That is the end of Fearworms,
Fearworms.
You guys.
Oh,
Fearworms!
My God. We did it. We got through them all.
We did.
All six Tremors. Holy shit.
And it wasn't as grueling as I thought it was going
to
be.
No, I think that's the big thing to take from this is that I know even Aaron Burr, who gave us this, was like, I don't think I've watched these. And nobody has. We've considered them to be like, they're like the, it was like my revelation about Universal Soldier, where it's just like, you don't think about these movies because they're just like, oh, these are shitty straight to DVD sequels that no one's watches. Like, and you think they occupy the same space as Sharknado. But
they don't at all. This is not a Sharknado.
No, they're actually a lot of fun and they have a lot of heart. And like, nothing's ever going to compare to the first Tremors, of course.
But I think that these the sequels, particularly these two newer ones, are enough far enough removed from what Tremors was. It's like a, it's like an evolution of that idea.
Yeah.
That it, like, it doesn't hurt them that they're not the first one.
Well, I was going to say, there's nowhere to go but up, kind of, with this premise, because it's not like you can ruin it. It's
not
just,
really.
It's just worms in the ground. There's no mythology, which is, I really appreciate that there's no mythology. It's what I think the Alien franchise should have been, which
right,
is just,
yeah, exactly.
We go to a planet, oh, there's aliens.
Oh, fuck, aliens.
Yeah, all right, we have to fight them in creative ways.
These
all right,
assholes again.
Yeah, thank goodness that's over. Oh, no, more aliens. Like, that's all it needed to be, and that's what this is that they're just like, yeah, they want this guy fighting worms, so let's just do that. Nice
cool.
and easy.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I enjoy it, too.
I'm here for Tremors. I enjoyed these movies more than I expected to for the sequels.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest shocker was enjoying the past two.
Yes, because we thought that was going to go really downhill.
Yeah, and it didn't.
It didn't.
The effects are good.
Yeah. I want to see the seventh one.
Hell, I can't wait to see the seventh
one. I am excited. I am now a Tremors fan of the series.
Of the series?
Yeah.
Of the franchise, not just the first film.
Oh, no, yeah. Of the series. Jesus Christ, that's dark, man. That's dark. That's,
what a journey of discovery.
Ooh,
we've
I don't
on.
Know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And
yes, and special thank you to Aaron Burser for the founder of The Feast. He produced this podcast.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. All hail Aaron Burr. Repeat it. if you are interested in producing a podcast, or if you're just interested in some exclusive podcasts, you could check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Those exclusive podcasts are Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Mm. We have a bunch of tiers. We watch movies with everybody every Friday night, you know?
We do, yeah. There's a tier where we do that.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So check that shit out.
Yeah, we also got a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You can check out merchandise like shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, all kinds of stuff. Check that out.
Yeah. Have a happy new year. Have a happy worm year.
Mm-hmm.
May
it's
you...
the year of the worm.
May you get worms.
May your worms be turd-shaped and gigantic.